from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, July 13th. Coming up, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker recently signed a new law limiting the ways so-called forever chemicals can be disposed of in the state. But the sheer volume of these chemicals continues to present challenges. That story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Governor Pritzker has appointed a new director of the state's public health department. Kristen Schorsch reports.
Pritzker has tapped Dr. Samir Vora to run the Illinois Department of Public Health. He's a pediatrician downstate and a health policy expert at Southern Illinois University. Vora takes over the role of Dr. Ngozi Azike, who helped lead the state's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Azike stepped down earlier this year to become CEO of Sinai Chicago, a large nonprofit hospital system on the west and southwest sides. Vora will be tasked with continuing to help lead the state's pandemic response and to help tackle persistent health disparities across Illinois. He's slated to start on August 1st. I'm Kristen Schorsch.
Dr. Colleen McNichol has testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday on what her clinic has experienced since Roe v. Wade was overturned. She's the chief medical officer for Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis region. The clinic in Missouri was immediately shut down after the Supreme Court's ruling, but the Illinois one over the state line has stayed open.
Almost overnight, our Illinois clinic has seen appointments triple. And that's already on top of a double book schedule we were sustaining in the wake of Texas and Oklahoma's abortion bans.
The Guttmacher Institute estimates that 36 million people of reproductive age could be in a state without abortion access if current trends continue. McNicholas says she and other Missouri abortion rights supporters have asked President Joe Biden to declare a public health emergency for patients traveling out of state. Black facilities workers at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign have taken a major step in their legal efforts to end racial harassment on the job. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports.
After facing years of being called boy and stupid by all-white coworkers, three black employees filed a class action lawsuit in 2019 against the University of Illinois for failing to stop the harassment. Their lawyer, Shilpa Narayan, has now gathered enough evidence to formally request the court deem all black employees an affected class under the lawsuit.
What we found in the internal documents is an actual policy of whitewashing investigations. Over a six-year period, exactly zero complaints of racial harassment led to any determination that the university's anti-harassment policies were violated.
The plaintiffs don't want money. They want the harassment to stop for themselves and others. U of I lawyers say the university has addressed the harassment by firing an employee and more. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District reported its first probable case of monkeypox this week. While symptoms are wide-ranging, the hallmark sign of the virus is a rash that looks like pimples or blisters. Julie Pride is the administrator at CUPHD. She says it's spread in other ways than sexual intercourse.
It can also be transmitted by touching items such as clothing or linens that have been previously touched by the infectious rash or body fluids. And then it is also known that pregnant individuals can spread it to the fetus through the placenta.
Pride recommends people communicate with their partners, avoid direct contact with rashes and blisters, and get tested if there's any concern. CUPHD says monkeypox is a, quote, rare but potentially serious viral illness. Still to come, a look at the continuing challenge that chemicals known as PFAS pose to our environment. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
When Brian Wilson helped create the groundbreaking California Sound, he became arguably one of the most innovative musicians of the 20th century. The new American Masters documentary, Brian Wilson, Long Promised Road, weaves a road trip with the songwriter with memorable live footage and interviews with famous admirers. You can stream this award-winning documentary on the PBS app as a friend of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker recently signed a new law limiting the ways so-called forever chemicals can be disposed of in the state. But the sheer volume of these chemicals continues to present significant challenges. Juan Pablo Ramirez-Franco has more.
PFAS, or per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, are shorthand for a family of over 5,000 toxic chemicals, manufactured to be highly resistant to water, oil, and heat. Sonia Lender is a toxics policy advisor with the Sierra Club. She says it's the durable quality in the chemical structure of PFAS substances that complicates their disposal. PFAS are commonly employed in all kinds of consumer products, from dental floss to pizza boxes and hundreds more. Lender adds that their prolific use is adding up to a big problem.
The hurry to get rid of PFAS is causing state and federal regulators to make really bad decisions. And the chemicals were intentionally designed to fight fires, high temperature fires. We're very concerned that even in the high temperature of a waste incinerator, they are not broken down.
J.D. Dixon is an environmental justice organizer with the United Congregations of Metro East. He says the fight ramped up a couple years back when hazardous waste incinerator Veolia ES Technical Solutions received a contract from the Department of Defense to dispose of PFAS-based firefighting foam.
That it caused cancer, that it literally caused death. I mean, that brought the alarm to the people in the community, and that's what brought them out.
Sonia Lender with the Sierra Club says that these chemicals have been linked to a number of adverse health effects, in part because the substances are extremely resistant to breaking down and build up in the environment. She adds that this pervasive quality of PFAS calls into question any benefit of incinerating PFAS in the first place.
And that the risk is that the chemicals are passing unchanged through the smokestacks and back out into the environment, which would be very dangerous in places like the Veolia incinerator in the East Metro area, where people have been on the receiving end of all types of persistent and toxic waste that was sent to this incinerator over decades.
Last August, Governor Pritzker originally vetoed a bill that would ban the incineration of PFAS on the basis that the definition of incineration was too broad. He approved an amended version this year, which carved out thermal oxidation. It's a type of incineration used at the Veolia facility in Sauget. And it's not the only definition in the legislation that has advocates like J.D. Dixon raising their eyebrows.
What happened with the list that was passed, which was not extensive by far as we wanted it, we wanted a more extensive list with more PFAS chemicals on the list, because that list was only of roughly a few hundred or 200 PFAS chemicals when there's thousands of PFAS chemicals that needed to be incinerated.
The governor's office confirms that the new law restricts the family of PFAS banned for incineration to just those that are covered under EPA Toxics Release Inventory, which represents just a fraction of identified chemicals. But Sonia Lender with the Sierra Club says that the measure is still an important first step.
But we are concerned that hazardous waste incineration is a really dangerous practice. It's a flawed practice. So there's a huge conversation and momentum growing to find safer ways to deal with our most toxic chemical waste.
And according to a statement to WNIJ from Veolia North America, the Sauget facility made the decision to not accept PFAS-related materials several years ago. That comes with the caveat that because so many products contain PFAS, they can't ensure none of the chemicals are incinerated. Veolia added that the legislation has little to no impact on their operations. For J.D. Dixon, with United Congregations of Metro East, the decision to only ban the incineration of PFAS substances listed on the Toxics Release Inventory is in line with the kind of environmental injustice he says has characterized the region for decades now.
So the East St. Louis community is still in danger of PFAS incineration chemicals being burnt in Veolia's incinerator.
PFAS are not currently listed as a hazardous substance. But the U.S. EPA did start the process for developing a strategic roadmap for how to deal with them over the next few years. And last month, the EPA announced it's inviting states to apply for money to address PFAS and other emerging contaminants in drinking water. Illinois might be a strong candidate. Earlier this year, a statewide investigation found that PFAS were detected in over 12% of Illinois community water systems. I'm Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be mostly sunny today with a high of 86 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Kristen Schorsch, Mawa Iqbal, Emily Hayes, Harrison Malkin, and Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.